You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
You know, I was into comic books and science fiction until I was about eight. Then I started reading history books. I got addicted to that. So I don't claim to be an expert on anything, but in general, I have a lot of information. So, and I've also studied psychology and the brain some. And they talk about the unconscious, you got that, you got the subconscious, the collective group unconscious and all that, subconscious. But if you study, you know, any famous criminologist who's really successful, they'll tell you, they get enough data, get immersed in it, they'll just wake up in the middle of the night and they'll have a hunch that almost always leads them to the thing that's the next hunch that's right. And it's that the unconscious brain is hundreds of times more powerful than the conscious brain, the narrowly focused cerebral cortex. Because we're really so smart, and we can dial it at all constantly. We just be like, because there's so much happening. But I had one of those moments while I was hit the can real quick, where it just hit me, and I know it's right. But I get this, my brain's like, no, this is it. Trump is completely burnt out. He's completely surrounded. He's got all these crazy advisors. He's trying to be positive. That's, he's brought up like that. He was a big self-help guy, followed all that. And now he sees he was lied to by these other groups, said to Levin, you know, you're evil and bad, but you tricked me, so I still love you. It was like, you too, Fredo, you too. That's what I interpreted of that. And so now Trump is flailing around, firing Bondi, probably Patel, because they didn't do anything, brings in the guys, the interim, that's really behind it. Maybe he does bring in somebody better. But here's the thing. He's been so unpredictably going bad the last 6 months. And I'm not just hoping this. He could go right back the other direction. That's why they try to keep him isolated. That's confirmed. And don't want anybody around him to talk to him. This happened in the first administration when I talked to him all the time. It's headlines. The main job of the chief of staff is keeping him away from Alex Jones. Because he was just, whatever I said was like, oh, yeah. And he called my wife up and tell her how great I was for like 10 minutes and stuff. It was really, Trump is weird, man. I mean, it's like, it's autistic. Whatever he's focused on, he loves. And that same thing about Cherish and all this in his speech yesterday. He was telling me this all the time. And, you know, but the point is, Trump's weird. And he's definitely burnt out now. And so as bad as all this is, look at all the good coming out of the crashing out. And we knew Bongino was going to crash out even worse. But my God, this is spectacular. I feel sorry for him. But this is actually an opportunity to wake people up even more is what I'm trying to say. And so when I say I had this big epiphany during the 4-minute break, it's that the way Trump started zigging and zagging here, I think he's going to do a bunch of good stuff and then a bunch of bad stuff. That's the pattern I'm picking up. And I think this is going to be explosively insane, entertaining, and dangerous. Kyle Serafin, what do you think of that gestalt I just threw out?
Yeah, I think that's all the same thing. That's kind of where we started. We started talking about that scene in Boondock Saints. It's chaotic. It's entertaining. It's dangerous. They kill a cat. There's all this other kind of crazy stuff. When people start doing things that you can't predict, part of me wants to see where it all goes. I'm kind of okay with the chaos because I don't like where the ordered sort of handling is what it looked like. I've never heard Trump sound as old or as tired or as bored with his own BS. Like he gave that speech, that 10-minute speech last night, 9-minute, whatever it was. I listened into it and I went, I've never heard him sound as bored by his own rhetoric than that night. He's out there and he's like, you know, everyone says America is like the hottest country. And you're like, we're not talking about a club here. We're not talking about a hotel that people want to book reservations at. We're talking about our country. I don't care if people think we're a hot country or not a hot country. I'd like to be an economically
and then
solid
he's like,
country.
Look at you, Mark. You're really evil, but you're my sweetie.
It's just so weird to listen to somebody say things like, you know, and then we did a Midnight Hammer and it was a bombing. It was the beautiful B-2 bombers, the beautiful thing, the hottest country thing, this like real estate hype language. It's old. It's tired. It's bored. He sounds bored by it.
Listen, it sounds like he's sleepwalking.
I had somebody just DM me a minute ago and say, you know, like, I'm hoping that Donald Trump is recognizing his own mortality at this moment. And look, I think Trump is kind of like a nuclear reactor. Like, you don't have to like him. You don't have to love him. You don't have to think anything other than the man has a freaking go button with minimal sleep, nonstop. He's always hustling and hyping.
He's a freak.
It's not my style. I don't love it.
By the way, I've talked to him. Knows him. He literally sleeps 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily great, but it works for him, and he's not young. I mean, he's older than my dad, and he's still functioning. So, like, listen, all of that, and my dad's super functional too, but Donald Trump is dialed in for as much as he's dialed in for that age, but, like, time comes for us all. It's undefeated, and you hope at some point in time someone looks around and goes, crap, I'm 80. A bunch of my friends have died off. A bunch of my friends are dying off. I'm going to die in prison if this thing doesn't go right, and this is what I keep hoping that somebody in the Trump administration will remind him. Like, if you don't reform the DOJ, if you don't reform the FBI, and, like, yeah, is it my bugaboo because I work there? It is. But, like, I've also seen what happens when the two fangs.
It is the hard key weak point.
It's the thing that kills us.
And strong point. That's where we reform things.
It is the thing that went after Americans under the last administration. It's the thing.
It's the thing. You and I, like, 2 days after I got one, you got one. We still keep getting the subpoena notices of secret subpoenas. I mean, they're investigating us right now.
Yeah. Let's put it in real simple terms. Folks, if you've never gotten a notice that you were about to go up against the most dangerous, potentially criminal enterprise in the history of the world with an unlimited budget, an unlimited attention span, and unlimited attorneys to fight you in a system that's basically rigged.
All the time we get a notice, AT&T, Goober, just like, you're like, what have I done? You haven't, but you just know the wolves are out there.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody in politics in D.C., and the statement was something to the effect of, there are multiple nation states that are probably compromising my phones and probably our own government as well. And so, you know, once you just assume that everything that you're doing is public, which is my assumption. Like, I assume that from the minute I went public with my story, Alex, I was just like, I don't have any more secrets. Like, whatever secrets I thought I was going to have, the time to hide them was not now. It's too late. So whatever I go into, if they had dirt on me, they would have done it. If they had things that showed you shot at your staff or waved a gun around and tried to kill somebody, they would have gotten you with it. The crazy thing is the people that actually have those secrets that have been shown those secrets and then know that they're owned.
Yeah, but who writes this manual? I'm a problem for them. You shoot guns at people. It's a manual.
They must. I mean, it's a great discrediting thing. I love guns. Like, if you tried to come after my firearms rights, that would be the red line for me. I told my last boss, I'm like, if anybody in the federal government ever decides to come for me and try to collect firearms, I'm going to war. I hate that because I'm probably going to die doing so. But it's all over at that point because that's the last freedom for me.
That's how 1776 started. Okay, so
yeah, you come for the guns.
So the limited time
we live in Texas.
Other looking at this total meltdown and. Looking at what are you hearing about? Is Todd Blanche just the interim, or are they really going to bring in Lee Zeldin, or what's happening?
I don't know. I'm seeing it trend. I actually only heard that Pam Bondi was out, but I don't know what the long term plan was on that. So I won't speculate.
Well, no, they're saying Lee Zeldin could be the replacement.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw that. And that would be fine. It seems like Lee Zeldin made some pretty good moves at EPA. The things that he said all lined up with the things that I was hoping for. Look, at the end of the day, Donald Trump's agenda that he ran on, whether anybody wants to convince themselves that war with Iran was something we were always doing, it wasn't. Donald Trump's agenda, the reason that he won a coalition of people that otherwise wouldn't have voted for Donald Trump, but looked at the alternative and said a domestic agenda with affordability, with an America focus, with a constitutional focus, like trying to de-weaponize government, a guy who's already been attacked by government agencies, who says he's going to abolish the IRS and we're going to have tariffs, but we're not going to have an IRS anymore. And we're going to go new taxes on tips and we're going to look after the working
class.
That's
all gone now. He now says,
that was the win,
though. Forget Medicare, Medicaid. We are a war economy. Have you seen this clip?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts because it's the exact opposite of what he ran on. That's like the number one way you could go and crumble your brand. And unless there's like a just kidding, this was an April 1st, you know, April Fool's Day joke, which I don't think it was. Then somebody guided you so far away from your principles. One of the craziest things that they do, though, this is an intelligence tactic. This is a sales tactic. This is like a thing that people do. I think this is probably what happened to Dan Bongino as well, since we were talking about him in the last hour. I think the best way to get someone to buy in is to convince them that your idea is their idea, the kind of inception move.
No, you predicted it. You made him feel important, bubble wrapped him. So let's get into this. Since I mentioned it,
I think they did the same thing to Trump. I think they've been doing the same thing to Trump, unfortunately.
Oh, that's exactly what we know they've done the last 10 years. It just happened again, mm-hmm. Even worse. Since I mentioned it, let's just play the club. Here is 30, clip 30. Because I'd like to say something and not show it. This is Trump. That it's not possible to deal with daycare, Medicare, and Medicaid because we're in a war. And then he told Bloomberg and the new economic plan is cutting a bunch of social stuff when the country's in deep trouble and in a recession or depression. It's all going to go for war now. Even if you're going to do this, you don't say this. Like, this is literally committing seppuku. Here it is.
because the United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. But we, it's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things, they can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
Okay, so the big no-no since I got involved in politics 30-plus years ago is you don't touch Medicare and Medicaid. He's literally saying it, and now the legislation says basically cut federal funding for it. Suicide. I mean, it's just
That's jumping on the third rail of politics, isn't it? I mean, you're just not supposed to ever say it. You can think about it. You can try to do it. You can try to sneak it in, but you're never supposed to do it. You know what's crazy, Alex? And this is something that will probably upset some of your audience, but I still think it's true, and I can't shake it. Donald Trump's not a conservative. If anybody's honest about it, he's not a conservative. The thing he just said, you know, that the federal government can't be involved in daycare. I'm like, I agree with you.
No reason. No, I agree. But to say the
and then
people
he said
don't
the state has
it.
To do it. It's like, what do you mean the state has to do it? Nobody needs to be involved in daycare. Your job is daycare. If you have children, I got four. Guess whose job that is? Mine.
But
guess
most
what it has
of the
to do with the state
are
of Texas?
He knows that. And the point exactly. The point is you don't say that regardless.
Oh, yeah, it's a dumb thing to say, but the craziest part was
Remember, Donald Trump's agenda was. Look at these maps, and he could actually declassify if he wants to, but he's showing classified bombing maps on Air Force One. He's like, there's no filter.
Yeah, agreed. Terrible decision theater is what we would call that. Just bad ideas all around. But the sad thing was is that he almost gets to the point where he's saying the thing that we were looking for. Remember, his push was we're going to make America more affordable. We're going to eliminate government. We're going to go and bring back freedom.
Oh, no.
We're going to defend the Constitution.
I actually like what he's saying, but you got to do it in the process.
Agenda.
But the point is, the reason I guarantee they were pulling their hair out when he said it. The point is he's off the rails, even from any perspective. Yeah. So let's get to this right now. Here he is on Erica Kirk. Let's hit Charlie Kirk now because I wanted to spend time with you on this.
Okay.
So obviously the ATF comes out and says, inconclusive, we can't say this is the bullet, 30-06. Any idiot knows, you'll shoot someone with 30-06, 150 yards, he goes through, give me a break. I don't care what they say, even half loaded it would do that. Okay, I've shot elk at 1,000 yards and blast right through them. Okay, actually 300 Win Mag, I don't like 30-06, but the point is I've shot a few things with 30-06, blown pigs' heads off with it, you know, the whole side of the head blows off, 500 yards. So Trump comes out and says, sue everybody's ass off that's questioning the official narrative of Charlie Kirk's assassination. That's a quote. So, wait a minute. I'm not saying Israel did it up front. I'm saying Tyler Robinson thinks he did it. There could have been others involved. I broke the Cash Patels in the meeting with Tulsi Gabbard saying we're not looking at foreign involvement when they had leads. Joe Kent, I broke that back at, 6 days after he got killed. I broke that. I had that from high-level people in there who were scared to say it. They said, we're scared. You can have this. You're crazy enough. Here it is. I'm on record. Articles, everything. Now
yep,
here it
I
is.
I was on with you not long after that, and we talked about it 100%.
Yeah, so Joe Kent, all that. So it's one thing if you say, if people say Erica Kirk killed him, because I don't see any evidence of, you should sue them. No. He's saying if you question any of this, well, that Trump, that's going to make people look even more. And so now with this ATF finding, to their credit, not lying about it, where does this go? Joe Kent says, yeah, I'll testify. They say, oh, you want Tyler Robinson to go free? No. He said, if I'm asked if there was intelligence, we were told not to look at accomplices, domestic or foreign, I'll do it. 10 people, 3 days before, 2 days before, 1 day before, he'll be dead when he comes, and he's dead. I talked to TPUSA head people, and they said, no, Cash Patel said, yeah, they might be involved, but we can't prove it, so we're not going to prosecute them. Okay, that's, and if I'm asked, I'll testify. So, I'm making phone calls. I don't just sit around on air and read news articles. I've got sources. So there's definitely a cover-up now. The question is, who is involved? Where does this go? But here's Trump jumping the shark.
A thing called Happy Easter. Do we have that? Everyone happy? Anybody that doesn't want, hello, darling. Wow, this is a good table. I like that table. You're doing well, right? Okay. I think you should sue him, but, I told her, you ought to sue some of these. They're so jealous of Erica. I said, you ought to sue their ass. I can say it. You're not allowed to say this. You have to be nicer. Sue their ass off.
Yuck.
Where is this going? And just the general.
That's like stream of consciousness. That's a guy who's having thoughts out loud on a national scale and either not I don't know if he doesn't recognize that everything he says is recorded and it's publicized nationally and it makes every clip, or whether he just doesn't care anymore. And it's probably the doesn't care anymore thing. That's not a great thing. I'm not a big Erica Kirk fan. I didn't know Charlie Kirk. I didn't like Erica Kirk before that. I don't like pageant people. They're showy. They're not Kyle Serafin type of people. We're a lot more down to earth type of folk. But like, the craziest thing is this: they're doing all these claims. The president is weighing in on whether you can sue somebody. None of these things have been adjudicated in a court of law. They haven't even done the preliminary hearing. Alex, do people realize how far back and how far down the line we are from any sense of what justice looks like in that case?
We'll talk about the process, even decided, but also, what do you make of the ATF saying we can't match the bullet?
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, there's so much evidence there that they're dealing with, and I have no idea. Like I said, I listened to what Joe Kent said, and that sounds totally reasonable. They should have followed some leads. It sounds like they missed it. It sounded like a pissing contest. I actually think all these things are connected, including the pipe bomber story. The way I understand it is, and I don't know if you know this, but the pissing contest that began over the Charlie Kirk assassination, where Kash Patel was immediately embarrassed. You know that? He was up in New York. He was having dinner. They couldn't even fly the evidence response team out to Utah. He had the jet, so they weren't able to do that. That's not the first time that's ever happened. Right. He wanted the jacket. He wanted to make sure he was doing this. So you've got Patel, who's already embarrassed. Then he comes out. Then he flies out there. Then he's freaking out and trying to micromanage the Salt Lake City investigation that was going on. And then they have this pissing contest over turf war, basically, like whether or not Joe Kent and NCTC has the authority or the responsibility or even the purview to go in and do any follow-up on domestic and or foreign involvement. Theirs would have been the foreign end of it. The FBI says no. Kash Patel puts his foot down. We hear there's a big fight in the Oval Office. J.D. Vance is mediating and all this kind of crap. And that's fine. And then you go on, and then they try to jam up Joe Kent by saying that he was leaking information to Steve Baker, which was all related to the J6 pipe bomb story, because there's this like blood feud there. Meanwhile, they haven't even decided whether or not there's probable cause to believe, not whether or not he's guilty, but whether there's probable cause to believe that Tyler Robinson is even the guy. Yes, he's in prison. Yes, there are these like, you know, the claims, and I haven't dug into it enough to find out like how the confession goes down and what the claims are in the confession, but those can be contested. But they haven't even evaluated the probable cause end of it. They charged him through an information, which is not an indictment. It didn't go in front of a grand jury. It's a different system than most people are used to. And they're still trying to mediate when that preliminary hearing comes out to decide whether they even arrested the right guy to even go to a trial and continue the rest of the litigation.
And you said right back when it happened, you said the fact that they didn't use a grand jury was going to be problematic.
Well, that's the way that it works. Apparently, I'm not familiar with the way that local prosecutions happen in Utah. It's different than the federal system. So I had to read up on it. And as I understand it, when you have a serious felony allegation, they forego the grand jury. That's for smaller things. And for major felony allegations and capital crimes, they go through information, which means that you get a statement. It's an affidavit that's published and it's affirmed and sworn and affirmed to by the law enforcement agency. Then the district attorney goes out there and issues the warrants, and they go and get the arrest. And then they go and they do a preliminary hearing. Usually that's done in 30 days. In most cases, you're not going to have the volume of evidence. You're not going to have nearly the sort of circus that's been surrounding the Charlie Kirk case.
Why do you think the sheriff resigned two hours after it came out that the bullet didn't match?
Maybe he has political aspirations. Maybe he's tired of the story. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like all of this thing has become an absolute nightmare. I think it's politically toxic. It's like a radioactive thing. It's kind of like talking about whether you're going to eliminate entitlements. If you're involved in a case like this, and basically everybody that's involved in it is going to have someone screaming at them. There are people that are on the TPUSA side and they love Erica Kirk and they think that everything is on the up and up. And, you know, anybody who says anything about whatever the government narrative is a problem. And I've been attacked and you've been attacked for either, like, whatever your side is, you're going to get attacked.
People just making up horse crap about it, too, saying it's conspiracy.
Yeah, they'll just make up their own thing. But if you're a local sheriff and you plan on, like, living in that community and you just don't want to be part of that anymore, like, I could also see why. Most people who are elected as sheriffs, it's not, like, their first job in law enforcement, and it's not a job that they necessarily have to have. It's usually a retirement gig for a lot of these guys. So I'll have to look into that guy specifically. But, you know, I've got friends that are retired FBI agents. They're already getting a pension. If they had their choice, they probably would just go fishing and hunting and camping.
Well,
and then it's like, oh, I can also be a sheriff.
Sheriffs are saying, they say day one the FBI came in and just railroaded it, cut them out.
And it was stupid. Look, I have friends that work out of that office. I have friends that were on the phone calls that Patel was coming in. They were screaming and trying to do a social media management campaign I actually just reread one of my tweets from that time where Kash Patel was scream crying to everyone that they weren't giving him pictures of Tyler Robinson so he could tweet him out, that he and Dan Bongino were collaborating at the time in front of the entire Salt Lake City office of the FBI. You know, I'm going to tweet this, and then FBI.gov is going to tweet this, and then Bongino's going to tweet this, and I'm going to respond to this. They were doing a social media managing PR campaign when their friend, theoretically, was just put in the ground and horrifically murdered, and they were more interested in how it was going to play in the press.
They delivered a real investigation. They'd be loved. Instead, what does Patel think when he gets removed? I think it's coming. Does he think he can go do podcasting again? He's a joke.
I have no idea. Like, I don't even know what that meant. Like, he snowed me, you know, and he snowed me because I really needed an ally that was going to... Alex, I just needed someone that was going to do the thing they said, that was going to be the person they represented themselves to be. And I think a lot of people that have looked at Patel, if you're not blinded by the love of Trump administration, if you can just look at people honestly and say, Trump does good things and bad things. Some people live up to the hype. Some people don't. Some people, the administration, were not good. Pam Bondi was one of those that a lot of people pointed out.
Yeah, but you don't take pleasure in their failure, I know.
There's no pleasure in people's failure. Like, they failed me.
But
it's got to
be he and his superstar, number one country singer in the world.
Country music sensation.
Whatever she calls herself. They're suing you for just questioning whether she can be foreign intel, which is totally your right.
They're suing me for reporting on a story that was going for months and had millions and millions of impressions.
Sure,
and
it's really about you criticizing Cash. He's hiding behind her. So how's that little lawsuit going?
I haven't heard anything. We're waiting on a judge to decide what he thinks of our motions. Look, if we're being totally honest about my impression about what that lawsuit was, Cash Patel didn't sue me. His girlfriend did, but she sued me on behalf of Kash Patel. And it looks like Kash Patel wrote the original filing. It's all very centric on Kash Patel, and Serafin's a jerk, and he called him an Indian, which he's freaking of Indian descent. So I don't know how that's a problem. He calls himself an Indian. it all looks really like he's mad because I was exposing that he was a hack, and he was a hack from day one. It was really obvious to me. The first and most obvious problem you recognize when you've given somebody advice and helped them get into a position and you've given them all the right answers to the questions and the test is when they don't take your call after they pass the test. Kash Patel got sworn into the FBI, and that was the last time I heard from him. That was damning
and
to like right on itself.
And secretly told Grassley you were mad, and Grassley didn't buy it.
And then he went after my friends. He actually even rehired my friend Steve Friend and then fired him like
Why
the same week.
Why would you go after the people that helped you?
Yeah, do you know how dumb it is to go after people that are better investigators, that are smarter than you? And then I have nothing to lose. Like, there's nothing Kash Patel can do other than maybe try to take my life or my freedom away, which I think they would like to do that. You can't come after me. I don't even own my house, man. I lost my house when I worked for the FBI.
Bad, I might come after you. You'd be only good. But I would never just start a fight with you for no reason.
It's a crazy thing to pick an enemy that's already told you they're willing to take on the entire federal government. Who the hell are you? You're Kash Patel. You're this bumbling fool who apparently is on a, you know, like X Videos website, and you're flying around on the jet, and like people are lining up to log in times on his porn site.
I don't want to be full of hubris or anything, but I'm getting a little bit of satisfaction from afar. I know you get you're a Catholic and a Christian, so you don't revel in it, but you've got to control yourself a little bit with satisfaction right now, because you're being vindicated.
It's just so sad. And honestly, I feel like it's like vindicating more than anything else, but it's not like a pleasure. It's kind of sad. Because here, if you gave me the choice, hey, would you rather the guys that you helped get in or that you were lobbying on behalf of
do a great job?
Do the freaking thing you said you were going to do. What if they just did the thing and they went in? What if Pam Bondi was awesome and everybody was like, maybe she's not good on gun rights, and then they just kicked ass and, you know, disbanded the ATF? I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, so do you
That's
think there's any chance
for?
What I said earlier, that Trump wakes up and we get another crazy move to doing the right thing?
I don't know if it'll be the right thing. I think we're in a time of chaos right now. That's what it looks like to me. Like I said, it feels like that Boondock Saints scene where things are breaking. People are like, he's making moves that are good and bad at the same time. I don't know who the audience
Crash
was.
Crash the market,
I
exploded oil prices.
Yeah, just like not good things happening. It all comes back to like regular people, because I'm a very regular person.
Well, the whole
person.
World sees him say, it's your problem, Middle East and Europe, the Strait of Hormuz. When we
and we're going to be here for weeks or not, or maybe more, and we're going to bomb you to the Stone Age, and we're going to do some other stuff. We're going to hit their oil and gas. You listen to all the things he said, and America's the hottest country, and you're like, what is this guy about? All I know is I talked to a random dude who works in my county, who works in maintenance. He's got, you know, calluses on his hands, and we were sitting there talking at a gun shop yesterday. He may even hear this for all I know. And the two of us are talking about gun stuff, and he's telling me that it's too expensive for him to drive his work truck into work, and he's got to take his motorcycle because he's got to worry about, you know, the dollars and cents of how much gas costs. And gas costs $1.50 or more per gallon than it used to. And you know that here in Texas, we got cheap gas prices compared to most people.
And that means when it's pouring down rain all day like in Austin, you're riding around a motorcycle and pouring down rain.
Yeah, are you going to go out and vote for Republicans because you think Donald Trump's the right
one to work? You're driving 80 miles an hour, 7 miles an hour. That hurts. Yeah, it's just
yeah,
an example.
It sucks.
Kyle, do a few more minutes with us. 2 more minutes and we'll let you go. Because then Mike Lindell's coming up. I'm going to ask Mike what he thinks of Trump now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.